It's can't walk and or can't talk, right? And can't and struggle. Her own mother.
Willie's wants to ask a question.
Yeah.
Did her mother have those Guillain Barre?
No. Her mother had a stroke. And what was in another? She lived from another country, and her mother was in a wheelchair and not talking because of the stroke. So she goes to a school, a ministry school that teaches like we talk here.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And she hears the testimony, she sees the testimonies of people, but what, you know, what gets in the way of this kind of stuff?
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. This, our belief system of, you know, it's like we see the miracle, we hear the miracle, but the thought of me being the one stepping in and praying. Mm-hmm. Is a big step, isn't it? Sometimes insurmountable for some people. And I love, her name is Jess. Her testimony was, she felt Holy Spirit say, right? Here's your chance, right? The woman in the wheelchair. And what did she say when she got up to go pray for her? Like, okay. All that sense of power, gone. Right? I don't feel powerful. All of a sudden, it's like, gulp. I don't feel powerful here. I just have to learn to trust. In fact, when she prays for her, the implication is nothing happened, right?
Mm-hmm.
5 minutes later. A text that says 5 minutes later. It's like, I just feel like we're at a really just a neat moment in our journey. Of saying yes to impossible things, right? Mm-hmm. And so last week I shared some things briefly with you, and I talked about these four pillars, and then you texted and said, what were those pillars? And I thought, you know what? This is important.
Yeah.
What I've done, Darren, would you hand these out?
I've actually thought about that a couple of times this week as well.
I just feel like this is, here's what we're doing. We're learning to think differently, aren't we? We've been told so many things that, and I guess I would suggest to you that have misrepresented God. They've misrepresented the gospel. They've misrepresented our understanding of salvation. They've misrepresented why he came. All good hearts, but there's just something we're waking up to, right? And I realized, you know, we have spent the last several weeks on this, getting this, what I would call this foundational, this deep rooting of an understanding of this awareness that God's good. Right? You know what we're really erasing? Is we have a thought about God, we have a thought about salvation, and we have a comma, but. God saved the world, but. God loves me, but. And we replace it with all sorts of conditional things that kind of disqualifies what we just said. Right? And I really feel like we're getting rid of the but. We have to get rid of this comma, but. And it really is absolute. There's a belief that he's showing us. Paul tells us, right in Romans, the language he uses is the renewing of our minds.
Yeah.
Right? Romans 12:2. It's the renewing of our minds. We're learning to step in to a new belief system, a kingdom belief system, right? Here are the beliefs. All right? He says, you have a belief about God, right? You have a belief system about yourself. You have a belief system about others. And you have a belief system about your circumstances. Okay? Belief system about God. Belief system about myself. A belief system about you. And a belief system about my circumstances. Got it? I believe as we start rooting ourselves, and here, it's like, don't you want to be Jess? the girl in that just said yes and got the text from that person. Don't you want to be that person? It's just like you stepped into an impossible situation, and maybe it's your spouse or your kids, right? But you just, oh, thanks. Go ahead, Darren. I do. So I just, this morning, I just wanted to, my teaching really is straight from Scripture. I'm not going to amplify points as too much. I just want to read some Scripture to you, right? Because I believe, I said last week, if our goal is to step into that faith gap, it starts with this absolute understanding that God's good, right? The absolute goodness of God, right? And so our first pillar is this: God is good all the time, right? No exceptions, no exemptions, no disqualifiers. He's good all the time. Psalms 27:13 says, I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I would have lost heart. Psalms 145, 8 and 9 says, the Lord is gracious. He's full of compassion. He's slow to anger and great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. He's good. He's good. And so we ask Holy Spirit this morning, and the pillar of his goodness, that he would begin to erase all doubt in your mind about the absolute total goodness of God, right? That all the fears that disqualify that thought are gone this morning in Jesus' name. The second thing, pillar we talked about, was that the total accomplishment was satisfied at the cross. Everything was satisfied at the cross. When Jesus was crucified at the cross, right? One of the biggest arguments that we would have was that, well, even death, right?
Yes.
Well, you may talk to me about all these things, but death, that's the final thing. And Jesus says, no, it's not. Right? No, it's not. Right? That even death bows at the name of Jesus. Even death. The biggest element, I believe, of the cross was he didn't have to go to the cross. He did it to show you how much he loved you, right? So any excuse you have of seeing, appreciating, receiving, understanding his love, he satisfied at the cross.
Yeah.
Right? It's the one marker, if we ever begin to question, am I okay? Mm-hmm. I look at the cross. If I ever question the resources of heaven, they're satisfied at the cross. If I ever question my authority, my access, right? Everything he's promised me, it's satisfied at the cross, right? That's why, in that verse in John 19:30, that's the one where Jesus says, it's finished. All your arguments, all your debate, every question against the kingdom of God, he says, it's finished. It's finished, right? Jesus provided the answer to my problem before I ever had a problem. And because of that declaration, right, I can trust him in all situations. Before you ever had a problem, Jesus had an answer to it. Ephesians 1:3 says it this way, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who's blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Romans 8:28 says, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose, right? He's good in all things, and he sealed the deal at the cross, right? This is, all of heaven is yours, he says, and you could operate from that place. And then we get into that belief system about ourselves, because because in a big measure of Paul's letters to the New Testament church, is the rewiring of our understanding of our significance in his great plan. We feel devalued. We call ourselves sinners. He calls us saints. Right? So God, kingdom, Father has a value for you beyond what we give ourselves. Right? So I would say to you this, and sometimes it's a hard thought in the church, you're significant. You are plan A. for the kingdom of God. Mm-hmm. When he gave the Great Commission and said, "Go do this in my name," right? In Jesus' name, he gave you the highest, right? He gave you everything. He gave you dominion over the planet and said, "Go," right? Tells me he has unbelievable value he ascribes to you, right? So we're like, "God, help me wake up to my significance in this plan that you have." He tells us in Ephesians 2, verse 6, he raised us up together. He made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. 1 Corinthians 3:16 says, "Do you not know that you're the temple of God and the Spirit of God dwells in you?" How's that one for value? You are the storehouse of heaven. Boom.
Wow.
The kingdom of heaven dwells here. That's how much he values you. Right? That's your role. That blows my mind. Right? 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away." All disqualifiers, right?
Mm-hmm.
All shame, all guilt, all past indiscretions have passed away. All things have become new. Now all things are of God, who's reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And he's given us the ministry of reconciliation. You know what that means, real quickly? As I come to this revelation of who I am in him, my job is to help you come to that revelation of who you are in him, right? Ministry of reconciliation. That is that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them. And he's committed to us the word of reconciliation. This isn't a judging word, is it? It's like, if I could just help you see how much he loves you. That's my job. Let me show you. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Know yourself as a son. Know yourself as a daughter. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. I'm waking up to the value of who I am in the kingdom of heaven. And because of that, I co-labor with him. I co-labor with the good God. And I represent him through miracles and signs and wonders. That's a declaration I would encourage you to this. And as I give you these things, put them on your refrigerator. Put them on your bathroom mirror. Because what you're doing is you're reminding yourself, God, you're good. Calvary took care of everything. The cross did. I'm significant. I'm valued. I co-labor with you. You're a good God. You're using me to bring signs and wonders to the world around me. Right? I'm confident that he's called me to make a difference and shape the course of history. Your plan A. It's not the preacher at the local church. You are plan A. You're the one in the Starbucks that the girl in the wheelchair gets rolled into. You're the one. you're his hands. You're his words. You're the lover, right? In that moment, right? He says in Mark 16, these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Wow. I love Jess's awareness of the dependency of healing isn't on me. It's on him. I'm just representing him. He wants to heal you. I'm just standing in the gap. So I don't have to feel bad if I prayed for you and nothing happened, right? I'm believing and trusting God's going to seal, finish this here thing. Just like Jesus did, I represent my Father in everything I do. Everything I do. Jesus said this in John 5. Most assuredly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father do. For whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. You know, that's one reason, by the way, we worship like we did this morning. We're really just positioning ourselves to hear from Father. Right? We're not qualifying ourselves. I'm not singing to get his favor or attention. You know what I'm actually shifting? He's solid. The Father, the Son, right? Holy Spirit, they're solid towards me. I'm the one who's wavering. I'm actually reminding myself, right? Step into his presence. Go be with him. Right? We're going to get all the disqualifiers out of us in worship this morning. All those things that make me feel separate or disconnected, those are going to go away right now. I'm coming in because I'm hearing from the Father. What does he want to do? That's where he gives us assignments, right? He gives us words. He gives us pictures, right? As a believer, it's in my DNA to see to pursue possibilities and see them out of Jesus. You were created for miracles. You were created for impossible situations. Wow, right? Mm. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. One of my favorite scriptures, by the way, John 14. Great. This one hurts my head a little bit. He says, greater works than these he will do. You're going to do greater works than Jesus did.
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, wow. Because, he says, because I go to the Father, we're learning to trust in him. Holy Spirit's taking us to that place where he's showing us how to have a relationship of trust in heaven, up in Father. And whatever you ask in my name, I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Here's a guarantee. Every time you pray, heaven responds. Every time. Every time heaven responds. Well, they weren't healed. The lady I prayed for at work. What did happen? I know her heart shifted. Her hope rise. She felt loved. She's able to even articulate it, feeling something in her body, right? I didn't do that. Heaven responded. There was a need inside her heart. And I love that God brought her to that place, an encounter, right? Now, we want more. So God heal her body. We want more. But heaven always moves when you pray. Always. Here's the other one. Okay, I'm valued. I'm waking up to it now. You value the person next to you. Help them wake up to it. Because we're easy to say, well, I'm okay, but you know that darling's really got some problems in her life, right? And we end up kind of like judging people, criticizing people. You know usually why we do that? To make ourselves feel better. We criticize and tear people down so we feel more powerful, so we feel stronger. And this new belief system of believing who we are and believing who you are and others are, right? We're learning. We have one assignment. It's reconciliation, that they wake up to their position as son or daughter with Father. That's our only assignment, right? It's never to criticize and judge. And he tells us this, this is hard for people that you might work with, that you go, that is the most vulgar, irritating, angry, cheating, slimy loser I've ever met. But God tells us in Genesis 1:27, he created all men in his own image. In the image of God, he created us. Male and female, he created them. Everyone has this DNA inside of them. Everyone has the Spirit of God resonating here, right? There's a thing lying to their belief system, It's almost like this cocoon they're in. That's what the world and what Scripture calls sin. That's almost incapacitating their spirit from hearing Him and seeing Him. We're helping break off that shell, that they would begin to like glimpse Him, right? And so we're helping them connect with Him, right? That they would have their encounter. We trust Holy Spirit for the whole healing of that shell around their life, right? Their belief system. And here's a declaration we would say to ourselves: I'm the best lover on the planet. Nobody loves people in Ridgecrest like I do. Nobody values people like I do. I go to work. I love the people I'm with. I see their value. I honor them. Nobody does it as great as you. Can you see yourself just like waking up to that? I'm the greatest lover on the planet, helping people see who they are. He tells us all through Scripture about loving one another, being kind to one another, right? In fact, one of his commandments was that we would love one another as I've loved you, he says, that you would also love one another. By this, all will know that you're my disciples if you have love for one another. There's tons of those, by the way, in Scripture. That we come to the realization of how valuable you are in this. Do you see what we're doing here? He's amazingly good, no buts about it. I'm stepping into the equation now and saying, wow, I'm starting to see how much you accept me, that I can draw from you. I'm plugging into your power network. I'm plugging into the kingdom of God. Now, hey, Dee, we're plugging in together, right? Darla, Don, Linda, we're plugging in. Dave, we're plugging into this power grid of heaven,
yeah.
Right? Now all of a sudden it's like wherever you're at, we've got this canvas that's beginning to cover the globe. It's certainly covering our city. It's into your workplaces, right? And we're stepping into this, oh, as reconcilers, as believers of kingdom, as believers of miracles, as lovers, right? We're the greatest lovers on the planet, bringing Jesus everywhere we go. Those are those first three pillars. So now it takes us to this last one. From that place, nothing's impossible. Nothing is impossible. So Guillain-Barré syndrome in wheelchairs, or cancer in bodies, right? Or pneumonia conditions that keep hanging on, right? Nothing's impossible. And so we're just reminding us, these are declarations for you to remind your spirit, remind your brain, right? This is who you are. This is who I am. This is who they are. Now let's go kick butt, right? Let's go.
Yeah.
We're tired. We're not victims, right?
Right.
We're not victims. I don't know what it's for yet, but I had a dream last night. I've been asking God what it is. I don't dream.
Huh.
Right? Mm-hmm. Weird. Or I don't remember them. Maybe it's more an accurate statement, because she does in living color and 3D, and I don't. So I dreamed last night, and I remembered it. And so it's impacting to me. Maybe not as much for you if you're a regular dreamer. I'll say it, but I don't, and again, I don't know what to do with it yet. But in the dream, I think it's a family. It's like around a dinner table. I didn't know any of them. And the conversation is weird. It's about tattoos. Tattoos. And clearly there, it's some kind of disappointment with tattoos. And I realized, and one of them has, and I think they all had the same tattoo maybe or something. I don't know. I don't remember if it was a man or a woman I'm next to. And I said, I can pray for that. And I put my hand, the guy's got his hand out. It was right here. And I put my hand on it and said, God, take away the tattoo. Right? This, by the way, this isn't a statement about tattoos. I don't think, right? So I'm praying for it. And I, in the dream, what I assumed was ink is coming at pooling up on the arm. And then it was empty. There was nothing there.
Mm.
And I thought, and I woke up. And I thought, what the heck? Right? I think, as I was sharing with you just now, I was thinking about this morning, praying, God, is it for you? Is it, what's it about? Some, you know, is it a tattoo thing? I think as I was just sharing, the reason I said it to you, that dream was, I think most people would view a tattoo as permanent.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And
not possible at all.
So, right. And so that's funny because yesterday Gano's guy was talking to me about they do that all the time when they're in prison, you know. They're not supposed to be doing it, but they're doing it. Just like they're making wine when they're in there.
Yeah.
So, anyways, Gano's dad said to me last night, he goes, you know, Dave, one of the guys in there said, so, Dano, when are you going to get your tattoo? And Dano said, I'm not. I'll never get one, or I won't get one, you know, because of his faith. And you know, I mean, just, you know, that's all I'm going to say about it.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying last night his dad was talking to me about that. I don't have anything against it.
No,
not at all.
I don't either.
I don't.
I believe that the testimony you want to hear from that is
yeah.
There are things that we believe are permanent.
Yeah.
Right.
We believe
yeah.
that they've marked us.
Right.
We
yeah.
believe that can't be changed.
Right.
We believe there's things in our past
yeah.
that we can't separate from.
Mm-hmm.
We believe that this condition I have in my body will never go away. Maybe it's a physical issue. I believe in my spirit this morning that the reminder for us is God says, I can do anything.
Right.
Healing cancer is as easy as healing a hangnail
yeah.
or a headache. Washing, when he says he washed away our past, when he says he makes us new, it's legit.
Mm-hmm.
He's not seeing you through a lens of what you've done bad. And I just want to encourage you this morning, and maybe it's yourself that he wants to speak to you. Holy Spirit's just affirming you right now that he's wanting you to know, I love you. You're not disqualified.
Mm-hmm.
You're amazing. You're powerful.
Absolutely.
And anything that is any residual that's stuck in your brain or in your physical body, heaven heals. Heaven removes. Heaven restores. So we pray that the kingdom of God comes upon you. So we just say this morning, we thank you, God, for how you've made us and created us. We thank you for the absolute truth that you're good. God, and we hang our life on the anchor of the cross. God, everything, nothing remains undone. You satisfy everything in Jesus. God. And so we say thank you for the resource of heaven. And we thank you, God, that you value us. And we say yes to being sons and daughters, God. And now we pray for faith to rise inside of us. We pray for courage to come. God, and we pray for dreamers that would rise, God, to do the impossible, to have vision for the impossible. In Jesus' name. Amen.